Our study this morning is out of Psalm 107, verses 1 through 43, praising God for his loyal love. God has great chesed. Chesed is the Hebrew word for loyal love. And of course, that word is used often in Psalm 107, verses 1 to 43. It is used of God's loyal love, and how man should intelligently observe it so as to praise him for it is shared in this psalm. So we view the psalm to do that. We'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to have your word, to have the Spirit of God within us to clarify the meaning of the word, and also then to equip us with the power to live it in the power of God. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask for wisdom as we get into the passage to understand it and then to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read it from the King James Version first, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loyal love endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city in which to dwell. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he dissatisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city of habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth them not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon the princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh of him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all the iniquity shall stop her mouth. Though whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness, actually the loyal love of the Lord. Okay, we're going to look at the Hebrew text on this. The numbering in the Hebrew text and the English Bible is the same, so we stay with the numbering system that we already have. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is wholesome. That's the same word, tov, that is used in Genesis 1, where God creates the universe and it's wholesome, it has a balance. Because his loyal love, that's hesed, endures forever. Let those who are redeemed by Yahweh say with this, those who he redeemed from the land of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west and north and south. They wandered in the desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loyal love and his exceptional deeds for the sons of men, because he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with wholesome things. They sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering from iron chains, because they had rebelled against the words of Elohim and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loyal love and his exceptional deeds for the sons of men, because he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. They became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. And they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loyal love and his exceptional deeds for the sons of men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. They went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of Yahweh, his exceptional deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loyal love and his exceptional deeds to the sons of men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert and flowing springs to thirsty ground, and a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers increased greatly. And he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of the affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked will shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him intelligently observe these things and diligently consider the loyal love of Yahweh. So the Psalms theme is given in verse 43, the various repeat cycles of blessing for God's people, followed by their various troubles, then their calling unto God for his help, followed by his various deliverances of them, signify God's great loyal love for his people. So we must intelligently observe so as to diligently to consider that loyal love, that we might give thanks to the Lord for his great loyal love and for his exceptional deeds in expressing it to us. Now you'll notice as we went through the psalm, there are actually four what they call vignettes. They're word pictures of God's deliverance of the nation. The first one is travelers who are being guided to a city. The second one is prisoners in the dungeon being released. The third is sick men being restored to health. And the fourth are sailors being brought safely to their destination. I think it's also interesting to notice in verse 29, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to the desired haven. Reminds me of what Jesus did a couple of times. He would still the waters, still the seas, stop the blowing, and the disciples noticed they were immediately at the land where they were headed. Now, there's a couple of miracles going on here. There's a miracle of stopping the sea. There's a miracle of the waves. I mean, if you stop the wind, the waves are still going to do this for a while. But Jesus calmed the waves. He calmed the wind and immediately transferred the men's boat 2.5 miles, 3 miles, whatever it was, from the middle of the Sea of Galilee over to Capernaum where they were supposed to land. So he was demonstrating in these various kinds of miracles his deity. This is why the disciples said, "What kind of a man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, that's the point. He's not just a man. He's God in the flesh. But anyway, all of these word pictures actually describe a single event, God's deliverance of the people out of captivity. Now, why is the psalmist using these word pictures? We call them vignettes, V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E, whatever. Because they represent different aspects of that deliverance. Travelers being guided to a city. In the ancient world, if you're a traveler, you're exposed. In our country, you can travel, for example, out in Wyoming and so forth. You still have confidence in the protective forces of the government of the United States around you. In the ancient world, when you got away from the city where you had the immediate protection of the army that was there and the leaders that were there, you're out in the wilderness. You're easy pickings for robbers and for enemy soldiers who want to cross temporarily the border and go after you and attack you and destroy you and take from you and so forth. So a traveler is a person who's under stress. And he's trying to find where he doesn't even know really where he's supposed to go. So God is guiding him and protecting him, and then he brings him safely to the desired city. Then you have prisoners in a dungeon being released. And when the people were in captivity in a foreign land, they were subject to whatever the foreigners wanted to do to them. And, you know, it wasn't a good life. It's kind of like being a prisoner in Iran or a prisoner in North Korea. I mean, you're absolutely at their mercy. And so they were relieved. And then sick men being restored to health. We have believers today who've been through this. Let's say they faced a very serious illness or a sickness, or maybe they were in a bad car accident and so forth. And when the Lord raises you up from that, you're very, very relieved. I remember my own car accident back in 1990 where I had one lung was completely collapsed, the other one was partly collapsed. I had 6 broken ribs and a spleen that was leaking. That was about as close to death as you want to dare to come. And so they had to do emergency surgery on a Sunday. And the doctor, of course, doing that saved my life. He took the spleen out, closed it up and everything. And he also put some equipment in so that the lung would have an opportunity to be restored to full health. So I felt very much that the Lord was giving me a new lease on life at that particular point. So that's something people can identify with. Sailors going down to the sea. The first time we crossed on a boat from New York City where we were going to Africa back in 1948, the captain of the boat, we went through a storm. I was about 11 months of age at the time. We went through a storm in the North Atlantic. And the storm, the North Atlantic storms can be very, very vicious because you've got warm water from the Gulf coming up, you've got cold wind coming from the poles down and so forth, and so you have very powerful storms. At one point, the captain of the boat told my parents that he thought the boat, you know, was going down in the troughs of the water and coming up. At one point, he said, when it went down, he says, "I didn't know if the boat would actually come back up," because sometimes the troughs are so steep, the boat just goes into the water. That's it. And he said it was amazing, but he said we came out, we survived. And this is when Mom and Dad were going to Africa as brand new missionaries in 1948. Of course, I was too young to know anything about this or to know anything to be afraid or whatnot, but the people who have been on boats and who have been on the sea or who, and you might want to identify with this, being in an aircraft and all of a sudden the pilot says, "We've lost an engine. So we're going back to Salt Lake City," or whatever we're doing, we're turning back. So that can be a concern. But when the Lord brings you safely through it, you're very, very happy. And so, you know, you just pick the vignette that fits your own life or fits something that you can identify with, and then praise the Lord for that. What this does, it makes us think about the ways that the Lord has salvaged us in our lives. And it causes us to be obliged to thank the Lord and to praise Him for His wonderful works to us. Think of all the things that He's rescued us from. Sometimes things that we've done ourselves that have gotten us into trouble. Sometimes it's just natural disasters or concerns around us, other things. Think of that and think of how the Lord has helped us. And then we should praise Him for that. So, it's interesting in each one of these vignettes, for example, you have a problem, like in the first vignette is verses 4 through 6, and then you have 4 and 5, then you have a prayer, verse 6, then you have God's provision, verse 7, and then you have God's praise in verses 8 and 9. Once again, in the second vignette, you've got the problem in verse 10 through 12. Then you have the prayer in the first part of verse 13. Then you have God's provision, the last part of 13 and for 14. And then you have the praise in verses 15 and 16 and so forth. That pattern follows through all four of the vignettes. So it's something that it's a literary device that is used to picture. Incidentally, the great preacher, you remember Jonathan Edwards, who actually he preached a sinner in the hands of an angry God in Enfield, Connecticut, and it was the most powerful sermon on record that's ever been preached in this country. He also preached that up in Northampton, Massachusetts, too, before. I actually saw a place, there's still a plaque on the grounds there. The church is no longer there, but where he actually preached the sermon, where the pulpit was, is you can still see it up in Enfield, Connecticut. But he used word pictures that were very powerful in colonial New England. And the word pictures that he used were so powerful, it scared people absolutely to death. So he stopped, he only preached that sermon twice, and he stopped preaching because the people would be crying out for fear that they were about ready to fall into hellfire and so forth. And what's interesting is Jonathan Edwards was not a kind of guy who got up and yelled at people. He actually read his sermons in a monotone, right? But it absolutely terrified the people because of the particular word pictures that he used. He was a very brilliant man, and he was able to develop these word pictures very powerful. In fact, some people think of his generation, he was actually the most intelligent man here in the United States at the time. He was a pastor up in Enfield and then up in Northampton, Massachusetts. But word pictures, and these word pictures are very powerful for the generation a visual that was salvaged out of captivity. So it's interesting. And we can identify with these as the Lord leads us to. So we've got a lot for which we can be thankful. Before I turn it over to you, Marge Kassir, who is a physical therapist, and she visited us a couple weeks ago. She's down in Texas. She told me one time as a result of a message we had on Thanksgiving, she said, we have found in physical therapy that when people are thankful, there is a certain series of enzymes that are released in the brain that are very, very helpful for the rest of the physical body. So she says, believe it or not, Pastor, what we're doing now is actually working on people who are having difficulty adjusting or having difficulty in the physical therapy that we're trying to provide them, trying to make them focus on being thankful, because when they do that, the healing speeds up because of these enzymes that are released in the brain. So it's interesting, there are spiritual reasons for why we need to be thankful, but God has also created us in such a way that it's to our health also to be thankful, especially to God. So with that, I turn it over to you and I share with you, and I share this with myself, how fitting it is for us to thank the Lord for the blessings that He has given. It's so beneficial, it's so wholesome to praise God for His wonderful things to us and to thank Him. Okay, we'll turn it over to you. If you have some questions on the lesson itself, you can address it. You don't have to. If there's something else that has come up that you'd like to discuss or have some questions in regards to it, we'll see.